If you're visiting with us, great to have you here. We're busy with a series called On Location. We've looked at a number of things. If you may be only visiting today for the first time, you can download the sermons for free on our website. For the members, if you didn't know that, you can download the sermons for free on our website as well. Or you can buy the CD afterwards for $5, so it's cheap. We don't try and make money from this. We're just trying to get people to hear the message. But why don't I say a prayer, and then we'll jump right into today's class. Father, thank you so much that we can be here tonight as a congregation, that we can, that we have the privilege of having a relationship with you, and that we are chosen by you to be able to make a difference, to be the salt of the earth, that we can know that a little bit of righteousness can go a long way, that we can know that when there is just some righteousness somewhere in a workplace or in a neighborhood, that you say that there is hope. And I pray tonight as we listen to the message, as we listen to your word, that we'll be able to take to heart some of these things, and that we will be able to make that difference on our different locations. Father, we praise in your Son's name. Amen. Please send your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be reading from there. At some point in our lives, we all, no matter how old you are, it's sometimes for some it happens earlier in life, for some it happens later. But we bump up against the question, why am I here? What is life all about? Why has God placed me here on earth? Now, usually in your teenage years or campus student years, you think you know why you're here. And in those years, I mean, I've been there. Maybe you guys are different. In those years, just think, I'm just here to party hard, man. That's why I'm here. God created me to just party hard. And then you sort of, you get out of that stage, and then you start working, and you think, oh, boy, I'm here to make some good money so that I can have a nice car. At that stage, you don't really think about homes. You think about sacrifice the home, man. Home is for old people. Just buy yourself some nice wheels. The women tend to think, well, geez, the reason I'm here is the wardrobe, I'm here to dress. God has placed me on earth to dress, to buy as many outfits as I can, to try on different things, to look good, what have you. And obviously later on you think maybe I'm here to get married, and then you think I'm here to have children. And as these things sort of pass by, you keep on bumping up against that question because you have now tried the happiness decisions. You have tried to make yourself happy through what you buy. You've tried to make yourself happy through partying hard. You've tried to make yourself happy through different things. And then somehow, at some point, we continue to bump up against that question that even now you have the 2.3 kids and you are married and everything. And you ask yourself, but why am I here? What is the purpose of this all? Why am I here? I wake up every Monday morning, the weekend has gone by, and then here I am once again in the beginning of a week. Why am I here? What is the purpose? What does God want with this all? And this morning in the text that we're going to read in Matthew 5, I believe we find a group similar to ourselves, except that the most of them were Jewish, bumping up against that same question, asking themselves, what is our purpose? Why are we here? And in Matthew 5, Jesus starts explaining to them their, and I believe, our purpose. And he says to them in Matthew 5, verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. That's your purpose. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the entire world. Planet. Now, my guess is if they were anything like us, they must have thought of themselves the light of the world. Jesus, we're carpenters, we're shepherds, we're peasants. We're not a light to anything or to anyone. We don't have any political leverage. We don't have any financial leverage. We don't know any cool people. We can make no difference. What do you mean, light of the world? A light? Why even a light? Obviously, why do we have light today? Why do we have several lights in this auditorium this evening? We have a light in here so that we can actually see what we are doing. And what God is saying, listen, I have placed you in the world so that the people in the world can see what I am doing, what I'm up to. Therefore, you are the light of the world. Somehow people is gonna would have to look at your life, he's saying to them, and I believe to us today, somehow people are gonna be able to have to be able to look at your life, related to the Father in heaven, and have an aha moment. And say, now it all makes sense as I look at your life. In verse 14, we'll continue there. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, in the original text, there is an extra, in the Greek, there's an extra word called kimahi, something like that. My Greek, I'm not that fluent anymore. And kimahi means set. So in other words, the more literal translation would be a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now the word set is different than the word built. In the New Testament, this word that they use here, set, basically meant divine or sovereign decisions. It referred to a divine or a sovereign decision. In other words, he is not saying that this is a city arbitrarily placed there. He said, no, this is a city strategically set there for a specific purpose. And what they would do back in their day and time, the architects and builders, is they would say, where can we place a city that will be best seen by everyone, that it can have the greatest possible impact, that everyone will know about it? And what they would do is they would build this city out of white limestone. So what would happen is the light shines on it, the sun shines on it during the day. It obviously reflects and you can clearly see it. And by night they would light it with lamps and lanterns and you could see it. They want people to clearly see, here is the city. So it says, as a city is strategically set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. He continues in verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it, and then it adds that word, not in the NIV. Some of your Bibles might have it, but not in the New International Version. They put that word in there again, set. Instead, they put it or set it on its stand. He says, listen, when you put a lamp in your house, where do you put it? Do you put it outside? Do you put it in the cupboard? Do you put it under a bowl? He says, no, they knew what would happen. Everyone knew this. You would place the lamp in the most strategic place, on the highest place, on a corner somewhere in the ceiling, so that it could shed the most possible light. So that everyone will be able to bask in its light. Because a little bit of light, like a little bit of salt, can go a very long way. And what is the result of that? He continues with verse 15. He says, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In other words, everyone will be impacted by this light. He continues, verse 16. In the same way, it's in the same way as a city is strategically set on a hill so that friend and foe can see it. In the same way as you set a light strategically in a place in your home so that you will be able to benefit most of it, that everyone in the home will be able to see what they're doing. In the same way, let your light shine before men. So saying, the light cannot only be internal, the light cannot just be something inside of me. I cannot just have feelings and convictions about God inside of me. He says, no, in the same way, your light should shine. In the same way, your light should be able to move from in you to the outside. It should become external. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Why? That they, and what's the next word? That they may see your good deeds. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, listen here, I don't only want you to be something or someone. I want you to do something. I want you to do something so that people can see. I want you to embrace the fact that you're a light. And then I want you to do something that people can somehow connect the dots there. It says that they may see your good deeds, verse 16, and praise or celebrate or honor or recognize your Father in heaven. So it says what he wants us to do, or people to do, is they must be able to look at our lives, see who we are, and somehow they must be able to connect the dots to our Father in heaven. somehow they must be able to say, listen, you know what? Or not only say, he's such a nice guy, she is such a sweet girl, they are so trustworthy, they work so hard. No, they need to be able to say, well, he is such a nice guy because of his Father in heaven. She is so kind because of her Father in heaven. He is so hardworking because of his Father in heaven. He raises his children in such a wonderful way, loves his wife, or she submits to her husband in such a wonderful way because of her or his Father in heaven. Some way people need to be able to, as they look at our lives, connect those two dots and say, listen, yeah, his light is shining and I can see that it's not just them. It's not just because of who he is or who she is, but she or he is who they are because of their Father in heaven. And some way, somehow, we need to figure out what is it that we need to do and in what way do we need to do it that people will actually look beyond us, beyond who we are, and give glory and attention to our Father in heaven. And you see the relational connection there. It doesn't even say and give glory and attention and praise to God. It says and give glory and attention and praise to your Father in heaven. People need to be able to see that the life that we live because of our Father in heaven. And we must, it is our job to help them see how to connect those dots. Just as a city on a hill is strategically placed, just as a light is strategically placed in a home so that it would get most light, we need to be able to strategically, God has placed us strategically in a place to do strategic things. So that people will not just say, he's a good guy, she's a good girl, they never tell dirty jokes, they're always friendly. But that they will be able to say, he or she is like that because of their Father in heaven. Let your light shine in such a way that people will give praise and honor and glory to your Father in heaven. That, in short, is why we are here. To let our light shine like a city on a hill, like a lamp set on a specific place. What does that mean for you and I? Well, firstly, according to Jesus, you have been strategically placed on location for that very purpose. Meaning that strategically you work where you work, you live where you live, and you play by where you play because God has set you there for a very specific purpose, so that you can, on that location, let your light shine, so that people can connect the dots and give praise to your Father in heaven. Now, my guess is that a number of us think, but wait a minute. There is nothing strategic about my location. There is nothing strategic about where I'm working. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't even be working. My husband always told me that I'll be a stay-at-home mom. And now because of the economy and because he maybe enjoys his hobbies too much, now I'm working. This is random. This is by accident. We say, what do you mean it's strategic where I live, where I live? I don't want to live where I live. It was never my plan to live there in the first place. I'm supposed to live on the other side of that road. You know the road. That's a different road in different places, but we all know the road. I was supposed to live on the other side. This is not God's plan for me to live on this side of that road. His plan for me is to live on the other side. This is by accident. This is actually a catastrophe that I'm living on this side in this neighborhood. What's happening to me is actually an interruption in my life. And my location makes absolutely no difference. I can imagine that Temba that lives in Newlands, I can imagine that his location makes a difference. I can imagine that he has been strategically placed. I can imagine that Sarah that works for Ernest & Young, that is from the Lord. The Lord has placed her there for a reason. He has placed her so that her light can shine. But me? Not me. Where I live, where I work, where I play does not count. I cannot possibly make a difference. It is purely by accident. It is just the cards that life dealt me. It is just random. It is just the way that it is. Now think about that for a moment. Think about the moment when someone reached out to you to help you become a Christian. And all of us at some point, we got here, either someone reached out to us, a family member, a colleague, or we stumbled upon the church and somewhere or another. But I think most of us, who of us came here for the first time because someone invited us here? Let me just see a show of hands. Okay, pretty much the majority of us. Now, as you think back about the time that that person reached out to you or bumped into you, wherever it was, some of us were met maybe by a family member, some of us worked in a specific place, some of us lived in a specific neighborhood, some of us were minding our own business. We were going to the movies, we were in a restaurant, we were minding our own business, and then someone somehow bumped into you and someone reached out to you and somehow influenced your life that set it on a course that you could never imagine, that changed your whole world upside down and gave you and enabled you or helped you, assisted you to be able to have a relationship with God that you could never before imagine. Now, as you think back and as you tell your story to people, how do you tell that story? Do you say that, listen, yeah, I was at the movies one night, standing in the queue, very randomly, and then by chance, very randomly, someone else stood next to me and they invited me to a Bible discussion, they invited me to church. It was very random. Is that the way that you tell the story? It was an accident. There was no divine intervention. It was purely chance. Or do you say, listen, I actually moved to a new neighborhood and you will not believe it. But God, through His divine power, somehow placed me close to this specific neighbor. And my lawnmower broke, or his lawnmower broke, and that was orchestrated by God so that this person could meet me, reach out to me, influence my life, and put it on a course that I could never have imagined. I went to gym. I was doing some weight training. And lo and behold, God placed this specific brother, this specific sister. Sister. I was at Pick and Pay, standing in the queue, about to buy some groceries. And then someone stood behind me and God placed that brother or that sister there to influence my life. It was not random or by accident in any way or manner. It was from God. I have absolutely no doubt. And that's why I am here today. My guess is that is how we tell our story. Now, the funny thing is, if you were to ask the person that maybe reached out to you what they would think of the same story, you would find that they would find it very random. Oh, I was in Pick and Pay. This dude was next to me and I invited him to church. Very random. Well, hey, Jan, I was walking down the street, I met a new neighbor, and I reached out to them, we invited them over for dinner, and yeah, well, I mean, we try and meet people in the neighborhood, but this is just another guy, just another girl. Very random. In their minds. But you know better. You know that when it came to your own life, it wasn't random at all. It was divine intervention. It was by God. He has strategically placed that person in your life. God did a miracle on your behalf. And I believe that God is looking at us today saying, your location, where you live, where you work, and where you play is not an accident. It is not random. I have specifically and strategically placed you there on location so that you can be a light to that location. And if you for a moment just embrace that, and if you for a moment just believe that I have actually placed you there to be a light, you will be shocked to know what it is that I am willing and wanting to do through you, if you would just embrace it. Because none of that can happen until you say, maybe I am in my neighborhood for a reason. Maybe I am a light for the neighborhood that I don't want to live in. Maybe I am a light for that company that wasn't my first choice. Maybe I am a light for my family in which I'm the only one that is actually a true Christian. Maybe it's not by accident. Maybe it's not random. Maybe it didn't just happen that way. Maybe it was set by God that way because he said, listen, while you're in that family, while you're in that company, while you're in that neighborhood, there is hope. Because when you let your light shine, I know that people's lives can change. Maybe I've been placed there for a reason. Maybe I've not been abandoned. Maybe I've not been forgotten. I think that one of the biggest thieves of our dreams, of our hopes, of our purpose, is when we lose faith in what it is that God has called us to be and what it is that he has called us to do. And when we start thinking about ourselves as just another person, and we start thinking about ourselves and our neighborhood as just another person in that neighborhood, and we start thinking about ourselves and our workplace as just another person in that workplace. I'm just another person at the movies. I'm just another person at the gym. My life doesn't count. My life doesn't matter. I've even tried before and I've realized that it doesn't matter. But Jesus is saying, no, that is not true. You are the light of the world. You have been strategically placed like that city. You have been strategically placed like that light. And the house that gives light to everyone in it. You are that light. So one is, that is something that we need to embrace. The second thing that we need to do, that in a way you can say is a little bit harder than the first one, is we need to do some thinking. And the thinking that we need to do is, how do I, through what I do and the way that I do it, help and enable those around me at my workplace, those around me in my neighborhood, and those around me where I socialize. How do I help them connect the dots between who I am and the God that I believe in? How do I get them that as they look at me and people say these kind of things, and I've often heard people say this of Christians and of members, as I've met some of your colleagues and family, and they say, oh, well, he is such a trustworthy person. Or she is always the happiest one at work. He is so kind. He is so generous. Oh, no, he doesn't swear at all. He doesn't get drunk. This is such a wonderful guy. But what do I need to do, and in what way do I need to do it, that people are actually able to look away from my nice guy-ness, look away from my character, look away from my hard work, look away from who I am, and rather put their eyes on my Father in heaven? How do I bridge that gap? How do I get them to bridge that gap? See, this is even for parents, this is for us at home. How do we bridge that gap with our children? That they can actually see, one, that there is a difference between you and other parents. Now that is number one, that there must be a difference. That they can see, but boy, you are kinder, you are more loving, you are more patient, you are more directive, more intentional. You spend more time with them than their friends, parents do. But not only do they see that, but how do we help them see that they can connect the dots and see, but the only reason why you are more kind, the only reason why you are more patient with them, the only reason why you are more encouraging, the only reason why you're spending more time with them is not only because you love them, but because of your Father in heaven, you are being different with them. We need to be able to even help our own children connect those dots. And that is different for each one of us. And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do I do that? Not only to think about it and pray about it, but how do I do it? How do I move beyond just being nice? How do I move beyond just going to church? How do I move beyond just being a hard worker? How do I move beyond just being the righteous guy? How do I move beyond just being a man of integrity? How do I move beyond just being agreeable? How do I get to the point where people can actually connect the dots And on my location, they are drawn to my Heavenly Father because of me and because of who I am and because of what I've done, because they can see it in my life. How do I do that? How am I going to be able to get people in my community to see I am the light of the community? I am the light of Virgin Active. I think Virgin Active most probably needs a lot of light. I'm the light of the estate agency. I am the light of the marketplace. I am the light of that neighborhood that everyone seems to be moving out from. I am the light of that, and they can see it by what I do and by who I am. Can you imagine for a moment, can you imagine what would happen in our city if each of us, just for the next week or two, made that decision? That if each of us for the next week or two, if we would just get that and we would say, wow, the reason I'm going to go to the office today is to be a light. The reason I'm going to the office today is because Jesus is saying, I am the hope of that office. The reason why I'm making these sales deals is because I am the hope of these people and my interaction with them. I am the light there. I've been set there strategically. That every time that we go to the gym, every time we go to the restaurant, every time we go to the movies, every time we pick up our children from school or drop them at school, every business meeting that we have, every body corporate that we're a part of, that can you imagine what would happen if every time we go there, we stop and we say to ourselves, listen here, I'm actually there, I'm going there today for a reason. And the reason is that I can be a light. That is my purpose. I'm not there just to attend the meeting. I'm not there to do business. I'm there to be a light. I'm not going to that hospital. I'm not going to the doctor just because I'm sick. I'm going there because I'm a light. I'm not going to the pharmacy to just pick up the medicine. I'm going there because I am a light. Imagine if all of us were to do that for just 2 weeks. And imagine if all of us were to make that effort and say, well, what I'm also going to do is I'm not just going to be that light. I'm not just going to let my glow glow. I'm actually going to figure out and pray and try and figure out, but what is it that I need to do? Is it something that I need to say? Is it that someone says to me, you know what, hey, man, you're such a kind fellow. Except I've not always been kind. I've actually been quite of a rhino. Not referring to Reinhard Mosen anyway. But because of my Father in heaven, I've been able to turn a corner. Because of my Father in heaven, my wife and I are still married. Because of my Father in heaven, we have figured out how to raise our kids. Because of my Father in heaven, we are able to do these things. What is it that you need to do? And let me tell you, if you can figure that one out, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, but if you can figure that one out, if you can figure out what is it that you need to do where you work, where you live, where you play. Not just who you need to be. What is it that you need to do? If you are able to find the answer to that question, you will be able to figure out the purpose of your life. You will be able to know why you are here. You will be able to know why it is that you work, where you live, where you play, because you'll be able to figure out that you're there to be a light, so the people can give praise to your Father in heaven. I want to encourage us. Let us be a light on location. God bless. Amen.